Before you sit, I just want to read a couple of scriptures that I'm going to use today. And it will come from Psalms, the 73rd chapter. And I will read verses 1 to 2. And then I'm going to skip to verses 13 to 17. And then I'm going to skip and I'm going to go from verses 21 to 26. Hallelujah. Verses 1 to 2. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. Verses 13 to 17. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Can you say that verse with me? My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his words. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We have all had ongoing situations in the last few months, moments where something has challenged us or stressed us out. Having enough money, paying bills, hoping and praying that our family is strong and healthy, praying that nobody that we know is affected by COVID, cancers running rapid, Alzheimer's disease, and other diseases. There's one thing that we know is that these past few months, we have been really challenged. If you look back in the beginning of this year, all of these predictions for 2020, how many people would have predicted 2020 was going to be like this? In fact, when you walked into this sanctuary today, was your life as it currently is exactly the way that you thought it would be? I mean, in every way that you thought of 2020, did you think that it would be this way? Well, I'm here to tell you that although life isn't perfect, neither are we. The gospel is not just how we begin in Christ. It is also how we grow in Christ. The way that you grow in Christ is never growing beyond the gospel. You know, there's some people who believe that they have grown beyond the gospel. Amen. But we can never grow beyond the gospel. We can only get deeper in the gospel. Amen. Because this morning I want you to know that the same grace that has forgiven you and has forgiven me is now the same grace that should be changing you and changing me. In order to experience daily transformation, and I say daily transformation because the gospel says we should die daily. So if we die daily, when we get up the next day, we should grow daily. Amen? One way we can experience daily transformation is to acknowledge our own weaknesses. Amen? If we don't acknowledge those weaknesses, they will get the best of us. Amen? But I want you to know being weak and understanding your weaknesses doesn't mean that you're weak. Does that make sense? That understanding your weaknesses or even admitting your weaknesses does not mean that you are weak. Because the Bible is filled with weak people that God used in mighty ways. So one way that God can use you is admitting that you're weak. Amen? The call is not to make ourselves weak, but to admit that our weaknesses will become strengths. So this scriptures that I read today in Psalm 73, the psalmist had a problem. And his problem was his weakness. His weakness was that he had done everything that God had wanted him to do. Yet when he looked around the landscape, it seemed like everybody else, all the wicked people were prospering. Amen? This man knows that his life is not the way that it should be. In fact, he describes the severity of his problem like this, that my feet almost slipped. My steps almost went astray. As we go through this season right now, there's got to be people, because I know of people where their feet have almost slipped. And they're almost going astray. This problem in his life, the psalmist is saying, that it nearly caused him to fall away from God. I read an article the other day where they were saying that 33% of those who had proclaimed to be Christians before COVID are no longer coming to church. They're not looking at it online. They're not reading the word. They're not listening to it on the radio. They're not involved anymore. So this, it's a real problem. So the psalmist is saying that he almost slipped. He almost went away. How many of us know somebody who almost went away? That you got to call them up and encourage them, because the virus and things of this world, the way things are happening right now, there's despondency and their feet are slipping. The psalmist goes on to say that he envied the arrogant when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. The enemy will work on your mind when you're not in tune with the gospel, when you're not in tune with Jesus Christ. He will work on your mind and he will show you things that you will pay no attention to before. Amen? You see, a piece of candy don't look that sweet unless you can't have it. Amen? Everything that you can't have looks better when you can't have it. The wicked and the prosperity that they had looks so much better to this prophet, because he was slipping away. How many of us this week were envy-free? How many of us looked at something and said, no, I can't have that? A lot of times we look at something and in our own little sense of jealousy, we think, well, that would look good on me. That would look good being my house, my car. Sometimes people say, she would look good being my wife rather than his wife. Or my husband, but rather than his husband. Amen? So we must watch how the enemy uses envy and jealousy against us. But when we read the word, we realize that God's got plenty. Amen? So when you covet something of somebody else, don't you know that God's got plenty? That what he gave somebody, you don't need it? Getting back to the scripture, the psalmist is saying that he envied the arrogant. He saw the prosperity of the weak. Here he was a Christian before all of these things happened. He was a picture of contentment. But something happened. Something happened because he moved away from God. When you move away from God, something is bound to happen. If something happens when you come close to God, something happens when you move away from God. Hallelujah. The one true God that we know can always make things different in your life. I remember the words of Paul when he was in prison. And Paul was in prison many times. And all the times that he was in prison, he wrote. Paul said, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Just maybe the thought birthed inside of you that the God who delivered Daniel from the den of lions. Sometimes we look at situations and we don't know whether or not we can bear them. Hallelujah. We don't know whether or not we can bear them, whether we can go through them. But Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul realized that the strength that he needed did not come from him. The strength that you need this morning, the strength that you need tomorrow, the strength that you need Tuesday, the strength that you need in your life is not going to come from you. You've already failed. You've already missed the point. Your boat is already sinking. You're already done. The enemy has already won. If you believe that the strength that you need to overcome what's going on, it's going to come from you. The God that enabled David to defeat Goliath, the strength didn't come from him. David knew that he needed strength from somewhere else besides himself. It wasn't the armor of Saul. It wasn't the army of Saul, but it was the strength that God gave him to defeat Goliath. The strength that God will give you will deliver you from your trials and your tribulations that are on your mind this morning. How many have trials and tribulations on their minds this morning? Come on, somebody. I'll look at myself because I can tell you right now that as I came into the building, I started looking for my keys and I couldn't find them. Hallelujah. And I'm a troubled person when I can't find my keys. Because I have a lot of responsibilities, therefore I have a lot of keys. So I'm looking through all of my briefcases and pockets and everything. And lo and behold, somebody comes up to me this morning and says, you left your keys in the door of the church yesterday. That's not normal for me. But there's so many things that were on my mind. Preparation for you today to come into this sanctuary was on my mind. But the enemy, thank God, God is in control. The enemy, my mind went somewhere else. Hallelujah. Yesterday, when I left here, that I left my keys right in the door. But God is God, and he's in control. It is not by my strength. It is not by my power that nobody didn't try the keys. But it was God. Maybe you might be a little despondent because you go through something and you believe that deliverance is coming your way. And deliverance is on your mind today. Well, I'm going to tell you, if God has promised you something, it's going to come. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but you better believe it's coming. Hallelujah. It's coming. And maybe everything that is happening to you while you waiting for it to come brought you to this place today. See, sometimes God's got to probe us to get us motivated to do something. You know, there's nothing like a little bit of adrenaline. Have you ever been in a situation where something happened and then all of a sudden you got strength and you got power, your adrenaline starts running in your body? All of a sudden the oil starts going around and around and you got energy that you didn't even think 5 minutes before that you had it? Let something happen to your child. You'll find some energy. Your adrenaline will start running. Hallelujah. Maybe God probed you to come in here today. But I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus that as you came in here today, because whatever reason, that God will ambush you today. That he will cover you today. That he will get down on you and all of a sudden that you'll feel the presence of God like you've never felt it before. I'm praying right now that you came in here today and that when you leave here, you'll leave here differently than you were an hour ago. Somebody might have said, I'm coming, but something happened and your foot almost slipped. Hallelujah. But I'm saying you came today. You came for something today. Hallelujah. You know how to get God motivated to do something? You pray to him. Not only that, you worship him. You worship him in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through because your God is greater than whatever it is that you're going through. You must worship God. You must come inside here with a level of expectation. How many are expecting something today? Do you have a level of expectation today from God? Do you have a level of expectation? All you need to have is a little bit of expectation, but as big as God is, he'll increase your expectation. If you don't expect nothing, you don't get nothing. If you don't expect nothing, you get nothing. And it's not that he's stingy with it. He has plenty to go around. When we come inside the house of God, we experience something of God. God loves his people. He gives us a sense of belonging. He is what's happening. Our hearts get full of joy. Do you not want to know how people join a gang? Because they want to have a sense of belonging. The gang makes them feel like family. The gang makes them feel like they are part of something bigger than themselves. When you come to church, feel like family. Feel like you're a part of something bigger than yourself. Part of the problem is we're bigger than the church. Come on, somebody. But when we come to church, we got to be part of the church. Hallelujah. When we come with this sense of belonging, our hearts get full of joy. We become more grateful for the stuff that we have. We get filled up with confidence and hope because we're reminded that the God we serve is mighty. The God we serve is awesome. The God we serve is amazing. He's an amazing God. Don't you know you serve an amazing God? Don't you know that this God is awesome? When you realize how big God is, you better get humble. Oh, hallelujah. You better get humble because God is amazing. God's a big God. And when I think about, the God that we serve, oh, hallelujah. Knowing this God, knowing that I have a relationship, knowing that I can call him at any time of the hour, of the any hour of the day, any time of the night. Anytime I roll to the left or roll to the right, anytime I fall out of bed, I can call on him. I can say, God, I hurt my head, help me. And when we worship God, oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, have you ever been around somebody that just keep throwing presents your way? Oh, hallelujah. They just keep throwing presents your way. Every time you turn around, they're giving you something else. Don't you like, when you was a child, didn't you like to go see that auntie and that uncle? They kept giving your grandparents, they kept giving you something. You couldn't wait to go see them. You couldn't wait to get there. That's how God is. He says, keep giving things away. He keeps giving it. Once you come and know him, once you come to see him, once you come to worship him, once you come to praise him, oh, he's just giving it away. And he never runs out. He can create more. He's the creator. Hallelujah. When we worship the Lord, all of those things happen. Oh my God. But when we stay away from the house of God, hallelujah, our mind is away from God. We become anxious about tomorrow. Oh, hallelujah. We envy people with what they have and what we don't have. Hallelujah. We develop, listen to this, we develop a sense of entitlement. Hallelujah. We develop a sense of entitlement. You develop that because you know God and you know what he can do and you know he has done it for you. But you're not doing the things that God said for you to do, for you to receive those things. Hallelujah. You know, if you go, you went to that auntie, that uncle's house that used to give. Hallelujah. That grandma, that grandpa house who's give. Hallelujah. And you start cutting up and acting up and being ignorant, they're going to stop giving. If you don't act right, you ain't getting nothing. You ever heard that before? If you don't behave, you're not getting anything. Hallelujah. Same thing goes in the house of God. If you don't behave, you're not getting nothing. Hallelujah. Because he taught you how to behave. Hallelujah. He taught you how to behave. How to behave is in the Word of God. And if you don't understand, read the Word of God. And you understand how to behave. When we stay away from the house of God, when we stay away from the word of God, it chokes off our gratitude. Hallelujah. We become negative and judgmental towards other people. We get discouraged and are easily defeated by setbacks. Don't you know, if you have a setback, you can definitely have a comeback. A setback prepares you for the comeback. But you have to know how to have that comeback. You can't let a little setback keep you back. I don't think that there's a clearer example in the scriptures that shows us the difference between a non-worshiping mind, a non-worshiping heart, and a non-worshiping life than the worshiping mind and the worshiping heart and the worshiping life as explained in Psalm 73. Listen to the first two verses again. He says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. And then in verse 13, he says, surely in vain. You see, his mindset went from, he almost slipped. Now his mind is saying, I did all of those things in vain. The enemy will have you thinking that what you do for Christ, what you do for Christ is in vain. The enemy will have you thinking all the good things you do according to the scriptures, according to the word of God, is in vain when you start separating yourself from God and from the word. Amen? He says, I have tried to serve God and live good this way, but what good is this doing? I'm making all of these sacrifices. What is it for? I've struggled. I have problems. Where's the payoff? But notice in the scripture, he talks of community. Some people say, well, I don't need to go to church. I can look at church on TV. I can listen on the radio. I can. But listen to what the psalmist says. He says, if I had spoken like that, I would have betrayed your children. He's talking to God. This conversation is between him and God. He said, but you know, God, if I had spoke those things out loud, if I had came around your children, it would have affected them. Listen, he had all of these living doubts inside of himself. He had all of this conflict inside himself. Have you lived with doubts inside of yourself? Have you lived with conflict inside of yourself that you're walking around with all of these things going on and you're just carrying them yourself? You're not a happy camper. You don't look happy. You don't talk happy. You don't walk happy. You don't sing happy. You don't praise happy. You're not happy. Conflict inside of you. Battles raging on inside of you. Oh, hallelujah. This prophet, this psalmist is going through all of these things. But he hasn't told nobody. There's nothing, I always say, don't walk around with 10 pounds of stuff inside of a 5-pound bag. It's going to burst. Some of us are walking around with 10 pounds of stuff in a 2-pound bag. And you are about to bust. And everybody see you busting at the sides. And you think that nobody see you. They see that you're just, everything is coming out. Even in your words, in your tone, in the way that you speak. Hallelujah. Somebody say something to you. You say, what? I do it. Sometimes I have so many things on my mind, I'm about to bust. And I can't take no more, I think. And I say, what? My wife will tell you. I don't say yes, dear. I say, what? Come on, somebody, you ever been that way? I know it ain't just me. This psalmist is walking around, busting at the seams. Oh, he's got all these hurts. He's got all these questions. He's got all these conflicts. And he hasn't told nobody. But he goes on and he tells why he kept quiet. He said, because you know what? If I opened my mouth, people would have ran. He says, I would have betrayed your people. You see, but he still has a relationship with God's people. You understand? You might not come to church all the time, but because we know you, when you come to church, it's community. Hallelujah. And we can tell when you're busting at the seam, when something's going on, when somebody will say, you know what? I saw you today. They'll call you later on that night. I saw you today and I prayed for you. Praying for somebody, you don't have to have a confrontation. You don't have to let them know that I'm doing this for you. You just pray for them. You don't have to confront them in the sanctuary or at the car or wherever, at work or whatever and say, well, what's going on with you? Just pray for them. The psalmist was still concerned about the community of God. He said, I would have betrayed your people. So that also means that sometimes we need to shut up. Come on, somebody. You know what they say, if you ain't got nothing nice to say? All right, I know y'all know that. He knew he had nothing nice to say. So he said nothing. Amen? He's thinking about his church family. His relationship with them was keeping them from taking his anguish, his frustration, and his disappointment to the next level. He doesn't want to betray them. Maybe the only thing that was keeping him true, because his foot almost slipped. You know, sometimes when your foot is almost slipping, your church community might be the only thing keeping you from slipping. Hallelujah. Many times, we have to resist, and we can resist temptation only because we think of the people that we love. Amen? He loved his people in the church. He loved God's people, and that kept him from talking. And then in verse 16, he says, he was powerless to understand. In other words, he was saying, I'm going through this, God, but I don't understand. Have you ever gone through something and you don't understand? You just saying, God, why am I going through this? And you waiting for an answer. You waiting for an answer. You waiting for an answer. You asking God. You asking, you asking. You waiting, you waiting. You say, God, I don't understand. This man was hanging by his relationship with God by a thread. Have you ever held on to something by a thread? Have you ever held on to your integrity by a thread? Have you ever held on to a relationship by a thread? Have you ever held on to God by a thread? This man was holding on to God by a thread because he didn't understand. He says, I was powerless to understand the unfairness going on in life. Have you ever felt like life is so unfair to you? Have you ever felt unhappy and that led you to start thinking some deep thoughts? That you might have went into some kind of slight depression? That you might have been discouraged? That you might have felt a little bit of hopelessness? Hallelujah. That's where this man was at. He said, I was powerless to understand. But then look at verse 17. He says, oh, hallelujah. And this verse makes all the difference. He said, until I entered into God's sanctuary. Until I entered. You know, to enter someplace, you got to do something. You can't stand there. You got to do some walking. You got to do some talking. You got to do something. He said, until I entered into God's sanctuary. In God's house, something's going to happen. You see, the sanctuary ain't necessarily this building. Because when we ain't here, it's a building. And if we don't think so, this neighborhood has showed us that it's just a building. Hallelujah. But when we come in and we bring the presence of God in, it becomes a sanctuary. Hallelujah. Your sanctuary don't have to be in this building. Your sanctuary could be in your prayer room. Your sanctuary could be in your car. Your sanctuary could be in the bathroom. Your sanctuary could be in your apartment building. It could be in your living room. Oh, it could be any place that the presence of God is. And this man said, when I entered, oh, hallelujah. That means he had to have a conversation. That means he had to start looking for God. That means he had to start calling for God. That means he had to look and think about how great God is. He couldn't just sit there. He had to enter into the sanctuary. Don't you know in the presence of God, everything changed? Don't you know that in the presence of God, the devil can't even stay there? Don't you know when you call the name of Jesus, the devil has to leave? Because you're entering into the sanctuary of God. All your frustration, all your depression, all your disappointments, all your anguish, all your problems, all your situations, all your circumstances, they go when you enter into the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Everything going on right now don't mean nothing when you enter into the sanctuary of God. Don't you know the promises of God are yes and amen? Don't you know there's a place to go? The world want to tell you to go down. Tell them I'm looking up. I'm entering into the sanctuary. Hallelujah. 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 Wherever you are, you can experience the sanctuary of God. Oh, wherever you are, God can meet the needs in the sanctuary. Don't you know? Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. That name that opens the door to the sanctuary. It opens the door. You start praising that name. You start calling that name. You start confessing that name. The name that every mouth shall confess that he is Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow before him. The devil must bow before him. The devil is useless. The devil is powerless against the name of Jesus. You have power to crush the servant's head. You have power to kick him out. You have power to tell disease to go. You got power. Why are you keeping him out? Why are you keeping God out? Why are you keeping Jesus out? Enter into the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, he came into the sanctuary. And when he came in, look at what happened. He engaged in worship. He engaged in worship. You can't come into the sanctuary without engaging in worship. He engaged in worship. And then all of a sudden, it didn't happen 3 days later. It didn't happen 2 hours later. All of a sudden, everything changed. I got an instantaneous God. I got a God that can do things in the blink of an eye. I got a God who can manifest himself when nothing else seems to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He engaged in worship and everything was changed. He had fellowship with God, his communion with God himself. Hallelujah. Don't you know that you don't have to have no, you got a direct line to God through Jesus Christ. You have a direct line. You don't need an operator. You don't need to put another coin in the meter. You just call him up. You just get on your knees and pray. You got a direct line. God has call waiting. So it don't make a difference how many people is calling his name. Somehow the God I serve is always, he can answer all these calls. And he has caller ID. So he knows it's you. You can't call anonymously. You can't call. He sees your number. Hallelujah. He don't get you confused. He knows you're not a bill collector. He knows it's not a spam call. He knows it's you. Hallelujah. Under all temptations, under all doubts, under all difficulties. Hallelujah. This man came to understand when he went into the sanctuary. Hallelujah. To every believer, Christ is in the sanctuary of God. If you don't know it yet, and you don't know how to go into the sanctuary, then you don't know what it means to run into Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. If you never went into the sanctuary, God's sanctuary, that means you never ran into Jesus. You never had a Jesus experience. You never let him change you and conform you and turn things around for you. You never let him take your down and pick it up and take your up and put it down and move things from east to west. Hallelujah. Jesus, the rock. Hallelujah. Higher than I. Higher than I, Jesus Christ, inside of the sanctuary, there's peace. Hallelujah. Inside of the sanctuary, there's holiness. Inside the sanctuary, there's respect. Inside the sanctuary, there's love. Inside the sanctuary, all things are under the anointing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Inside the sanctuary, there's no big eyes and little U's. We all children of God. Hallelujah. Children of the Most High. Hallelujah. When I get there, oh, hallelujah. When I get there, hallelujah. When I get there, I just want to be there. I'm not going to worry about if your bed is bigger than my bed, my house or your palace is bigger than my palace. I just need to be there. Hallelujah. I just want to be there. And if I get there before you, I hope to see you when you get there. Hallelujah. We need the sanctuary because there's calmness. We need the sanctuary because we need a retreat. We need a sanctuary because we need to know how to be in the holiness of God. We need to be in the sanctuary where God manifests himself to his people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the psalmist says, when I came into the sanctuary, then I understood their end. Hallelujah. You see, his end wasn't going to be their end. Their kingdom is right here, right now, right on this earth. They have nothing to look forward to. There's no hope for anything more than this. I need something better than this. I don't know about you, but I need something better than what I'm going through right now. I need to have a hope. I need to have something that is going to take me to another level. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, when he entered into the sanctuary, his mindset changed. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, when you get to that sanctuary place in your and wherever it is for you, your mindset is gonna change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the psalmist realized he had to consider some other things. So in verse 21, he says, when my heart was grieved, he says, that was past tense, when his heart was grieved and his spirit was embittered. I just want to take those two things, his heart being grieved. Hallelujah. Do you know when you're grieved, you have chronic stress? Hallelujah. When you're grieved, it can lead to a bunch of physical and emotional issues, such as depression, not being able to sleep, feelings of anger and bitterness, anxiety. You can't eat. You have aches and pains, and you don't understand why you have these aches and pains. You go to the doctor, and you say, doctor, I got these aches and I've been pains. They take an x-ray. They can't see nothing. They do a CAT scan. There's nothing. They put you on the treadmill. You run around. And the needle's like this. They don't see nothing. But you do got the ache. You do got the pain. You do have the anxiety. But that stress. That's grief. What you grieving over? What you grieving over that God can't take that grief away from you? That's unnecessary pain and suffering. Now, some people just like pain. They like pain because they like to complain. I'm not talking about everybody, but I'm talking about some people. They like pain so they can complain. And then when you say, why are you complaining? They just want your ear so they can explain. The psalmist says, and my spirit embittered. Bitterness. Do you know what bitterness is? This is what bitterness is. It is a resentful spirit. It is a spirit that refuses to be reconciled. Bitterness, you refuse. Your spirit being refuses to be reconciled. So when somebody tells you, I'm sorry, or I apologize, your bitterness, hallelujah, won't allow you to be reconciled. The other person's at peace. You walking around with this bitterness. You killing yourself. Have you ever told somebody you apologize, you sorry, whatever it is that you apologize about, and they still holding on to it? The other person walked away. They did what they had to do. They apologized. They moved on. If you ever talk to somebody who live a long life, you say, well, how you live so long? They'll tell you they didn't hold on to it, but they let it go. They did what they have to do. This man says, my spirit was embittered. Don't you know that we are spirit beings? So when you are a spirit being and your spirit is embittered, hallelujah, your earthly part, which is your weakest part, your human body, takes the brunt, come on somebody, of your bitterness. This man said, my spirit was embittered. You know, some people just like to be mad. They live for conflict. They live for arguing and fighting. You ever know somebody like that? They just love to argue. They just love to be mad. They just love to fight. It's their thrill. It's their adrenaline. Hallelujah. So can somebody please tell me why my wife is leaning over at me like that? I used to be that way. But thank God, I entered into the sanctuary. Hallelujah. And the bad thing about bitter people is they don't want to keep it to themselves. See, that's how I knew I was like that. Because if I was mad, she had to be mad too. If I was upset, you got to be upset too. If I didn't like what was going on, you got to be that way too. My spirit was embittered. So I had to spread the wealth around. I couldn't keep it to myself. Hallelujah. This psalmist says, my spirit was embittered. But let me tell you something else about bitterness. Bitterness makes the Holy Spirit sad and sorrowful. Because if you're in Christ, whatever you're going through, he's going to work it out. So there's no need to hold on to the stress and the bitterness. Because you're making the Holy Spirit feel like they don't believe I can handle this. They don't believe I'm going to take care of this. They don't trust me. They're holding on to it. They're not letting go. The Bible speaks of bitterness as a root that can defile many. Hebrews 12 and 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The psalmist is saying, your bitterness can defile many people. The psalmist understood this. This is why he said he kept his mouth shut. In Hebrews, Paul is saying, bitterness will defile many people. Then he says, the psalmist says, I was like a brute before you, God. He's talking to God. You know, he has a real conversation with God. He says, I was like a brute before you. When he says brute, that means that he was preoccupied with looking at things that are in front of him. You know, things that kind of make sense. And we do that. We get preoccupied with things that are right in front of us. And because we see what we see in front of us in the physical, that we don't allow God to do what he's going to do. We don't trust him in the spiritual. Did you get that? He said, I was like a beast because he only looked at the sensible things and not in the spiritual things. But the Bible tells me that God makes fool of the wise things of this earth. The things that he does doesn't make sense. So, when you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you, I'm not a medical person, but he gives you your diagnosis of whatever is going on with you. And then he tells you exactly what he recommends. Hallelujah. Do you ever turn around and say, but my God has given me a diagnosis in my heart? That my God has told me something that he didn't tell you, but he told me. My God will deliver me from it all. Have you ever, maybe you don't need to tell him that, but you better believe it. You better confess it. You don't have to tell him, but you better confess it. You better pray to God and confess it. You better open your mouth and confess it. Hallelujah. I need to wind down. I'm just so excited to be inside right now. I don't even know how to act. Hallelujah. Y'all forgive me? Amen? That's all right. God forgive me anyway. Hallelujah. God, worship reminds us that we're never alone. God always walks with us. Why would we be envious of somebody who don't even understand that God is walking with us? Hallelujah. When you got God with you, why are you envious of somebody who don't have God? Because you're looking at the obvious. And so are they. But that is temporal. It's temporary. Amen? Remember, he worshiped God. The psalmist worshiped God, and he remembered that God has always given us a new and a lasting hope. So I ask you, what if this psalmist didn't go into the sanctuary? What if he hadn't experienced God in the presence of God and his worship? In verse 24, the psalmist talks directly to God, and let me tell you, these are the truths that he got. And if you walk into the sanctuary and talk directly to God, these are the truths that God is going to give you. God will give you a new perspective on your life. Somebody say amen. God will give you an awareness of the condition of your heart. Because you know part of the problem is your heart. You have a heart condition. Amen. I want to know this morning, are you aware of the condition of your heart? Do you have a heart problem? Do you have a heart for God? Do you have a heart for God? Worshiping him reminds him that God is our lasting hope. And also, when you worship God, you develop an intimacy with God. When you're intimate with God, you can feel his presence. Have you ever been around somebody and you're going through something and somebody says, I can feel the presence of God right now? Have you ever felt the presence of God? Have you ever been in the situations and you felt the presence of God? You could be doing wrong, but you can feel the presence of God because God knows where you're at. God knows what you're doing. And that presence of God will stop you. It will convict you. It will convict you of doing something you got no business doing. It would also enhance you and give you a trust to understand that no weapon formed against me right now shall prosper. It's not just to convict you, it's to comfort you. It's to give you confidence. It's to assure you. It's to let you know that somebody's got your back. Hallelujah. That there is somebody, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit behind you. Hallelujah. Stop looking at others with an envious eye. Stop looking to and up to the wrong people. Stop lifting them up. Be thankful for what God has given you. Be thankful for what God has done for you. The challenge this morning is not earning God's love. You can't earn it. I don't want you to say something to somebody next to you. I want you to look at them and do like this. Lord, Kevin, I seen that. You can't earn it. Can't earn it. I don't care how much money you got. You can't earn it. But you are challenged to live in the awareness of God's love. Because when you are aware of things, you know, I talk to people all the time about being aware of things. They say, oh, you nosy. Yeah, I look because I want to be aware of things. Hallelujah. I want to be nosy for God, too. I want to be aware of things. I want to be spiritually aware of things. I want to be spiritually nosy. Hallelujah. I want to be so spiritually aware that when I say something to you that the Holy Ghost is speaking to me, and you're going to say, how you know that? Because the Spirit made me aware of things. Don't you know the Holy Spirit can make you aware of things? There's times I've been in trouble. My wife called me. Where you at? Just hearing where you at. I didn't answer, but just hearing where you at. Because she felt something. The Holy Spirit made her feel something, made her spiritually aware of things. You think mothers have an intuition? Ooh, God is bigger than that. His intuition is greater than that. His intuition is more powerful than that. Be aware that God loves you. In Philippians 4:4, it says, Paul calls for us to rejoice always. That means independent of whatever is going on in our life, rejoice always. Because everything that you have right now, it's going to end up on the curve. It's going to end up outside. What's valuable to you ain't valuable to me. I will take it and I will throw it out in a minute. This ain't nothing. You worked all your life to get it. You done worked and you done took care of this car. You give it to me, I tear it up. It was valuable to you, but it don't mean that much to me. Don't let the things of this world keep you from serving God. Don't let the things of this world keep God out and the enemy in. You got to get God on the inside and get the enemy on the outside. Hallelujah. That's what the psalmist had to do. This message is inside out. Because what's inside is going to come out. You could put your mask on. You could put your makeup on. You could dress up, dress down. But what's inside of you is going to come out. And because what's inside of this psalmist, he wrote it. And we must do like he did. Enter into God's sanctuary. I want to know this morning, if God has spoken to you and you don't have a relationship with him, why don't you let him come in? If he has touched your heart this morning, you can have him as your Lord and Savior right here, today, right now. Hallelujah. He's the right now God. So if you came in here because you were disturbed, distressed, or whatever, you can enter into that peace of Jesus Christ, of God our Father. And if you realized that you almost slipped, I don't know if you almost slipped. Because he can see your heart. He knows your heart. The things that are going on right now wouldn't even bother you. Because when you get into the Word, you would expect things like this and even more to happen. And you would be at peace. So if you slipped or almost slipped, it's time now to renew your reservation to heaven. Amen. I mean, I know we had the RSVP for here, but listen, this is a bigger reservation you need to make. You better reserve your seat. As somebody said before, I don't want to be on that hot airplane. I want to be on the one with the air conditioning. I want to be riding first class. I want to be riding in style. Amen. And when you're riding in style with Christ, you get first class treatment. All things belong to you. Do you believe that this morning? All things. You claim it. All things belong to you. All things belong to you. You claim it. And if you don't get that, you're getting something better. Sometimes you got to wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us stand this morning.